They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A sweet deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The world's biggest group, Nestle of Switzerland, is buying the Gerber Baby Food Company. The price, $5.5 billion. This deal will give Nestle almost 80% of the U.S. baby food market. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
The deal is between two Swiss companies. Nestle is buying Gerber from the Swiss-based drug maker Novartis. Nestle has been pursuing the Gerber brand, with the picture of a cherubic baby on its labels, for some time. Analysts say the new parent has every reason to be proud. Gerber will be a welcome addition to the Nestle family of healthier food products. John Cox of Kepler Equities says nutritious baby food is a growth business in every sense.
If you look at the overall food market, that's growing probably, 1-3% odd, whereas in the sort of like so-called nutrition is growing at, up to double-digit levels.
To help finance its push into healthier, more nutritious foods, Nestle has sold off coffee and cocoa processing companies. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Asian markets were low at the close today. In Tokyo, the Nikkei slipped 129 points. European markets are also down as well this morning. Yesterday wasn't a good one for Wall Street either. The Dow's 8-day streak of gains ended as investors reacted nervously after minutes of a recent Fed meeting were released. The Dow tumbled 89 points to 12,484. The Nasdaq gave up 18 points to 2459. And the S&P lost 9 points. It's at 1438. Obladi, oblada, here they come. The music of the Fab Four, one step closer to becoming available on iTunes. London's Daily Telegraph says the Beatles have settled a $60 million dispute over royalty payments with record company EMI. That means executives at the group's company Apple Corps and EMI can now sit down and work out a new royalties deal to cover music downloads. This is the internet release everyone's been waiting for. All that anticipation likely to net millions for surviving members of the band and their relatives. What do you do if you're an airline and the airport raises the rent? You slap a surcharge onto your tickets. That's what United Airlines is doing for flights leaving from one major airport, Los Angeles International. $10 a ticket will be added onto the bill starting immediately. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says, get ready for more.
LAX blames the rent hike on all the upgrades it's got to make at the airport. United says as a result, it'll pay $10 million more in rent each year and that it's got to pass along costs.
Well, I think it's United testing the market.
That's airline industry expert Bob Mann. He says United didn't raise ticket prices because that would make the airline less competitive in online ticket searches, and he expects other airlines might slap on a surcharge too.
But in fact, rising airport fees are an area of considerable concern to the airline industry as a whole.
Meanwhile, airlines have banded together to fight the airport authority in Los Angeles. They're suing for what they say is a violation of their lease agreements. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Don't hold your breath. U.S. Trade Rep Susan Schwab is saying she expects no breakthrough in trade talks taking place right now in New Delhi. Schwab says the pace of negotiations will speed up, but the meeting is more about taking stock than anything else. Trade ministers from the G4 nations are trying to restart talks on global trade. This is the first meeting of those ministers since the Doha talks fell apart last summer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
L.A., Chicago. Which city would be a better venue for the 2016 Olympics? The U.S. Olympic Committee's board of directors will have to make that choice on Saturday in Washington. David Carter is executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. He says the USLC will try to determine which city will have the best chance to eventually beat out other cities like Prague, Rome, or Tokyo, which are also competing for the Games. I asked him about the strengths and weaknesses of L.A.
Well, I think the benefits of Los Angeles include the fact that they have to build very few venues, and with that comes very limited financial risk. And I think at this time, when you've seen cost overruns associated with other Olympic Games, that's really very important. I also think you have a strong showing from the entertainment community. Obviously, the Walt Disney Company has been very involved in promoting Los Angeles, and even the governor, Schwarzenegger, has been very supportive of our bid. But, you know, Los Angeles has had the game a couple of times. Some view Los Angeles as a difficult place to navigate traffic-wise. So
I don't know why they would think that.
I'm not sure either, but you're an Illinois guy, so I can imagine why you would be bashing Los Angeles.
That's true. I am from Chicago. So what are some of the strengths and weaknesses of Chicago?
I think Chicago delivers the better chance for the so-called Olympic legacy, the chance for the building of some landmark venues. And in Chicago, the USOC is one of the greatest sports cities in this country. It's a city that's willing to invest to get the games for the very first time. And so I think it's going to be a very challenging selection on Saturday, but whoever survives that will then be put forth for the ultimate selection, which, as you know, is not going to occur until October of 2009.
Obviously, both these cities are looking to get a lot of revenue from the Olympics. How much money can that bring to a city?
The estimates vary widely, and I think it really boils down to just how strongly can the organizing committee in that city deliver on time and on budget. And if you do that, you have a real chance to succeed. Los Angeles, just to give you an idea, though, of what can happen if things do go according to plan, now they're estimating an economic impact of the 26 games to be about $7 billion. So it makes sense for both these cities to be working so diligently to secure these games.
It really is Olympic gold. We've talked about all the good things that can happen, could come to the city if they win the bid. What are some of the bad things that could happen?
Well, we talked already about the cost overruns and construction delays, but I think beyond that, the primary concerns really revolve around safety and security, and again, the incremental expenses that come with those.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.